I don't sound like I'm from Iowa when I say y'all, do I? Hallelujah. Glory. It's good to see everybody. I think I can go home today. The snow's melted, so. That's a big victory. Amen. Why don't we get in, why don't we pray before we get into the Word? Just believe God for utterance. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're so good and your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Father, this morning for the privilege we have of gathering around your word and feeding on it and taking it into our spirits and renewing our minds with it, being taught, Father. We trust the Holy Ghost to live through us and speak through us this morning. We thank you, Father God, for his help and anointing to enable us to speak as of the oracles of God. Father, thank you for the boldness to speak the truth in love, and we'll give you all the praise for all the good results that it works in us, all that the Word does in us. I thank you, Father God, you said we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. We thank you for liberty, freedom, and boldness today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Good to see everybody. Yesterday morning, it was Tuesday night, actually. I had some time, I just spent some time praying a little bit about the direction we're going, and it got so clear something the Lord wanted me to do, so we're going to do that today. And personally, what we're going to share today has helped my life, my faith, and my life immeasurably. And so we're going to share it because the Lord's putting it on our hearts to do so. I want to go, if you brought your Bibles and everything, I know you did, you're in Bible school, right? Go with me to, I guess the best place to start would be the book of Revelation, and we'll go to the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. The book of Revelation. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. And I can tell you how I know that. I can read, first of all. But second of all, I was in Bible school. And Raymond, we had a paper to turn in. I don't recall what the paper was for, but we had to turn something in. And I referred to the book of Revelations. And I got a letter grade down because I referred to the book of Revelations. I never forgot it. How many of you know that? That'll make you remember. And people read this book to find out who the Antichrist is going to be. And all they have to do is read verse 1 of chapter 1 and they'll find out they're not going to find out. Because Revelation 1:1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is not the revelation of the Antichrist, but Jesus. But there's a passage here in the 12th chapter that's always, well, it's been a great weapon in my arsenal, I'll put it that way. And I've won many victories with it. And let's just look at it with together here this morning. There's a passage, well, let's just start in verse 7 and we'll come on down through. It says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. In other words, Satan prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now we find out who he is, the devil, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's those fallen angels. We call them demons. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Hallelujah. And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And it says, they overcame him. That's the accuser of the brethren. They overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. Praise God. Well, this passage, we're going to really, it might not appear like it at the beginning, but we're going to still talk about the spirit of faith today, but we're going to talk about it in the context of getting rid of something that I would consider to be the greatest enemy of operating in faith and having a spirit of faith. And that is just simply condemnation. Here he calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And the sense of guilt, shame, you know, unworthiness, condemnation, etc., is, I believe, one of the biggest enemies of faith that there is, that Satan uses against the spirit of faith. The sense of unworthiness makes people cowards in the presence of God, makes them cowards in the presence of what the devil's doing, because they don't feel worthy of the blessings of God. And Satan works overtime. The accuser of the brethren is what he's called. He works overtime to keep us and hold us in a sense of guilt, whether there's any reason for it or not. You understand? That the Bible tells us that the Spirit, whenever he comes, he will convince or convict the world of sin. And he'll work to that in our lives. He'll convince us and convict us of sin. But conviction's different than condemnation. Conviction gives you a sense of, that you need to make some adjustments. The sense of condemnation gives you a sense of unworthiness. And condemnation is a beat down. Conviction doesn't beat you down. Conviction draws you to God. But condemnation tells you to back away. You're not worthy. And it's like the devil gets a big hammer and starts hitting you over the head. You're no good. You don't deserve the blessings of God. You know, and it's really not of God. Conviction is, but not condemnation. And a lot of times we give the devil a lot of help when it comes to condemnation, because he's condemning us, and then we pick up another hammer and hit ourselves. He's hitting us with a hammer, and we grab a hammer. Yeah, I know. And then we're beating ourselves up. And so, I mean, or else he'll find us beating ourselves up, and he'll say, that hammer's not big enough. Here, take this hammer, you know. Condemnation is a faith killer. It's a faith robber. It makes cowards of men. It makes them shrink back. But a sense of righteousness and being worthy by the blood of Jesus, it makes you bold in the presence of God. Makes you bold in the presence of demonic forces. Amen. The spirit of faith has a strong sense of worthiness in the presence of God. And the further we go today, the more you're going to see that. It doesn't have a sense of condemnation, the spirit of faith. There's no consciousness. The spirit of faith has no consciousness of being unworthy. The spirit of faith has a sense of acceptance in the presence of God. And we're going to look at that. It has a sense that you belong there, that the blessings of God belong in your life, and that there is no sentence or no slap on the wrist for having them. It just doesn't have any sense that I owe anybody any apologies for what I have. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, the spirit of faith has its head up high and doesn't let the accuser of the brethren tell you don't deserve that. You're not worthy. You've made so many mistakes. How many of you, the devil has ever reminded you of your past mistakes? You know why he's doing that? He's trying to rob you of your faith. He's trying to make you sheepish and passive and just back off of the bold faith in the for the blessings of God rather than and charging in and say, I'm worthy to receive these things. It's really what he's after whenever he brings those accusations. Now, Colossians says, and don't lose your place here in Revelation, but we're just going to... look at, I would say today, we're just going to actually tan condemnation's hide. Amen. Because I tell you, I don't know about you, but I've discovered, did I tell you where to go? Did I tell you go to Colossians? Colossians chapter number 1. I've discovered that many, many Christians have a little bit of a, they just kind of constantly run a little bit of a condemnation temperature. You know what I mean by that? I mean, some of it's, sometimes you meet Christians that it's full-blown fever, condemnation fever, but there's a lot of Christians that have a little bit of a sense of it, and it's just robbing them. It's just a constant thing that makes them draw back. And none of it, zero condemnation is from God. Amen. Now look at Colossians here. He said, this is chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or that means worthy, fit, amen, made us fit, made us right, amen, made us worthy or fit or right, given us the right, I like to say, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us meet, he made us fit, made us worthy, given us the right. In other words, there's no condemnation for receiving the blessings of God. And you should have no sense of guilt in coming boldly to the throne of grace and obtaining them. Hallelujah. And so what he's saying here is that there's no slap on the wrist. There's no condemnation from God for having what he provided. Hallelujah. Made us worthy to come and receive. I mean, we're right in doing it. That's what he's telling us. So we should renew our minds to the point to where condemnation doesn't make us apologize for things. If you have something and somebody says, well, that's really nice, and you sort of kind of downplay it, you're like, well, I got it on sale and I got it cheap and all of that. That's coming out of condemnation. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't want to tell people where you got it, just tell them I got it at the getting place. And we'll find out today where that is. So praise the Lord. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Romans, the third chapter. The third chapter of Romans. And we were there. Well, I don't know if we did. We turn to it maybe on Monday, but we maybe quoted it more often than we turned to it. We looked at this we looked at verse 27, where it's boasting that it's excluded by the law of faith. But let's back up to verse 24. It says in the King James, being justified, that means made right, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set Jesus, in other words, forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just or righteous, same Greek word, and the justifier or the righteousness of him which believes in Jesus. Anybody in here believe in Jesus? So he's your righteousness. Hallelujah. All our righteousness might be like filthy rags, but he became our righteousness. Hallelujah. And then that verse we quoted or referred to and read, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. All right, so the context of that verse we read, the law of faith, in other words, how we enter into all the blessings of God is through the law of faith or the principle of faith. The context of that is, according to verse 25, look what he said, whom God hath set forth, or that's Jesus, God set Jesus forth to be a propitiation, look at this, through faith in his blood. We talk about having faith in God. This verse talks about having faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus. Now, it's all faith in God, you understand, but yet, right on the other hand, this is a specific faith in the blood of Jesus, not just in God in general, although we should have that too. But this is a very specific faith in the blood of Jesus. In the blood. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about the blood. Hallelujah. Faith in the blood. This is not just the blood that he mentions here, but faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Now, the Bible says here that he became a propitiation through faith in the blood. The word propitiation means a sacrifice that reconciles or restores the favor and fellowship. And Jesus was the sacrifice. His shed blood restored us to favor and fellowship. Amen. And favor and fellowship gives us a right to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And obtain grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And so what he's telling us here is that we need to develop faith in the blood. In the book of Revelation, it said they overcame Satan. Now, not just Satan in general, but by the context, they overcame the accuser of the brethren. Through, notice they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and notice, the word of their testimony. What is that? A confession of faith in the blood. Amen. Their faith in the blood caused them to overcome all Satan's fiery darts of guilt, condemnation, shame, unworthiness, and backing out of the blessings of God because I don't deserve this. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to do it. I just know it. I just know it. I know when I'm going to do it. I'm going to preach myself happy today. I just tell. I'm going to preach myself happy today. Amen. There's a lot we need to understand about this. Look at some things let's go to the book of Romans this morning. And Romans chapter number 8 says that there's something here. Let me go over here and find the actual verse. It tells us verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. We read this often, but there's a passage here in part of this in verse 15 that says this: the Spirit in us, that he witnesses with us that we have been adopted. And we cry, Abba, Father. He's the Spirit of adoption. What is adoption? Adoption is taking somebody into your family and making them part of your family, you know. And that's what God did to us. He adopted us in. And what the Spirit of adoption is the Spirit, I belong. I have been chosen. I have been picked out and loved by God and brought into his family and said, I want you to be mine. I want to take care of you. I want to provide all your needs. I want to love on you. I want to bless you. I want you to have all that I have. And that spirit of adoption is something that Satan hates. Amen. This is the reason some people don't jump in the middle of the local church sometimes, is because they don't have the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption says, I belong here. This is family. Pull up a chair and sit down and say, pass the potatoes, please. Amen. That's the spirit of adoption. But some people, bless their darling hearts, they just kind of stay on the outside of the local church and the outside of the family of God, and they don't have fellowship, and they don't spend time with other people, the people of God in their church and so forth. That's because they don't yield to the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. Go over to the book of Ephesians. Let's look at something else. This is something that has blessed me along this line. Let's go to, it says here in chapter number two, I believe it is. Let me find it myself. Chapter number three, maybe. Where is it? Just kind of came up in my spirit. Well, it's in Ephesians anyway. Oh, here it is, chapter number three. It says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness in Christ. This is one of our in Christ confessions. In Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Let's put it this way. We have bold and confident access to God by faith in Him. That should be your confession. I have bold and confident access to God through my faith in Him. In other words, I don't have a sense of being held outside of His presence, outside of His blessings, outside of His favor and His acceptance. I have a sense that I belong and I can come waltzing right on in. And there's nobody there going, no, this is God, stay away. No, I'm His son. I'm His child. I belong in the throne room. Come on in. And you come in bold and confident. You don't have your head down. And, you know, some people, I've been around people sometimes where they, every time they go to prayer, the first thing they say is, Lord, forgive us for all our sins. They don't sin that much. I know them. They don't sin that much. Amen. Come on now. What that is a sense of unworthiness. And they don't come in with their head up. They come in with a sense they don't belong there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these things have to become strong in our spirit. That they have to become something we're conscious of, very conscious of, that we belong, that we're accepted, that we can come to God, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. So really, the spirit of faith is the spirit that says, I belong. I'm accepted. And I'm accepted in the presence of God. There's no condemnation from God to receive all His blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The opposite of this is the spirit of rejection. God doesn't want you living with a sense of, you don't belong. He wants you to be a son and act like a son. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse number 6. Write these in your notes. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That should be your confession. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. When I go to God, I'm accepted. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what we're going to be sharing this morning is the solution for all insecurity, all sense of inferiority complexes, all those things where people just don't feel like they're worthy or as good as other people or something like that. You're not as good as me. You're as good as Jesus. Because you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't have to be as good as anybody else. You're already made as good as the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so these things are, there's great victory in this. There's great awareness that I'm accepted in receiving all that God has for me. If you study the Bible, the Bible says much about the mercies of God. Let's just look at a couple of these verses this morning. Let's go to, well, if you don't want to go to them, you don't have to turn to them. I'll just refer to some of them. Lamentation 3:21. Write these verses down. Lamentation 3:21. Because of His mercies, we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Mercies are new every morning. And that's what the blood has given us, is mercies. Notice it didn't say His mercy is new every morning. It says His mercies. Mercies. He's got mercies, not just mercy. Hallelujah. Psalm 136. I don't have the verse written down on that. I don't know why I didn't write the verse down on that. Psalm 136. I'll give you what I got. I got Psalm 136. It says, His mercies endure forever. Maybe that's that psalm where it says that over and over again. I think that's why I wrote that down. Praise God. His mercies endure forever. Then Micah 7, verse number 18. It says that God will, He passes over our iniquity and He delights in mercy. I mean, He just gets a kick out of it. He loves it. And I'll show you some things why in a few minutes. Then that's Micah 7, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 says, Lord, what will happen, 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and on, it talks about them making sacrifice to dedication of Solomon's temple, excuse me. And whenever they were dedicating the temple, the Bible said they went on and on and on and talked about his mercies. And whenever they did that, the Bible said, as they magnified his mercies, the Bible said the whole house was filled with a cloud. Whew, glory to God. Actually, it says when they began. Amen. Praise God. Then in 2 Chronicles, it talks about whenever they went out to battle, that they put the singers in front. Remember that? And they said, for he is good, his mercies endure forever. And said, when they began, just when they got started, when they began to sing praises to God, to sing and to declare his mercies, the Bible said that the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. Praise God. And so God interrupted them. They weren't even finished, and God interrupted them. He liked that. He got right in the middle of that fight. There must be something about talking about the mercies and praising God for his mercies that he likes. Why? Of course he likes it, because he delights in mercies. Amen. So, when you get to talking about God's mercies, you can know what's going to show up. The glory is going to show up, according to that passage. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's just look at this in the New Testament. We're going to dive in here in a little bit, but just giving you some foundation on this. Look at Ephesians 2, verse number 4 and through verse 6, down 4 through 6. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God's doing all right in the mercy department. He's doing pretty good. He's rich in mercy. Amen. We think about his rich streets of gold and all he's got up in heaven. But the Bible says he's also rich in mercy. He's extremely loaded with it. Amen. Now, what did his mercy do? It says in the next verse, because it's rich in his mercy. And then in verse 5 it says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. His mercy has saved us. It quickened us, made us alive in Christ. And hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's mercy. He just took people that were out of fellowship with him, had no relationship with him, were living in sin, and washed us and cleaned us, and then set us up with him all the way up at the right hand of the Father God. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. Praise God. I like something that an old-time preacher, I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's been in heaven maybe now, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, probably maybe even more than that. His name was E.V. Hill. Oh, man, he could preach. And he would talk about, I remember him talking about one time, because he was born in a log cabin. He's born into poverty. But God raised him up in the ministry, and he got to be well-known. He got to know famous people and so forth, and one time was even invited to the White House. And they gave him a tour around. And the guy he was with was somebody that was good friends with the president, I believe, if I remember the story right. And the guy said, I'll tell you what, come with me. I'll take you through some places that they don't even show everybody else. And they'd walk through doors where there were security guards there. And the security guard recognized the man that was friends with the president, but they didn't recognize Dr. E.V. Hill. And they'd sort of want to stop him. And the man that was guiding him through it all said, no, he's with me. He's with me. So he got to go into places because of who he's with. And that's the way we are. How did we get up there and sit at the right hand of the Father God? What did we do? Nothing is the mercy of God. And Jesus just said, no, he's with me. Come on, he's with me. Hallelujah. What did we do to deserve that? We just said, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whoop! Set us right up there. He's with me. Praise God. I got faith in the blood of Jesus. I got faith in the mercies of God. Praise God. You know, there's always somebody that's going to be surprised at how God blesses you, because they don't think you're qualified. Amen. But you just hold your head up. In fact, you need to keep a lot of people real surprised at how blessed you are. Amen. You know, people that you grew up with, they knew your past, they knew all your mistakes, they knew what you used to do together, and then they see you getting saved and coming out here and learning about the blood, learning about how worthy you are, and then they start seeing the blessings and they see everything that's happening, and they go, I know, I don't know why God's blessing you. Just keep them real shocked, man. Just keep them real shocked. Because you just stay in the, you stay in this place. Hey, God has made me. He's accepted me to have all this. Look at God. Look at God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says in James 2, we're not going to look at all these verses, but James 2, 12 through 13. One of the things that verse says in 12 and 13 says, James 2, that mercy rejoices over judgment. Mercy rejoices over judgment. That means mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. If you want victory over judgment, be a merciful person. Hallelujah. If you're going to err as an individual, if you're going to get into error, err on the mercy side of showing mercy toward people. Amen. Because how many of you know when we sow it, we reap it? I want to live under the mercies of God. I don't want to have to depend on mercy all the time, because mercy is for people that makes mistakes. Somebody said, I've failed so many times. Yeah, I know. That's what mercy's for. Praise God. I'm not preaching sin. I'm not, you know, preaching we should live a life of sin. You know, because some people hear what we're preaching here, and they say, well, you're going to give people a license to sin. I say, well, I've been around people for a long time. They don't wait for a license. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to read a verse that, let's go to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18 might sort of mess with your doctrine a little bit. But anything we believe that the Bible shoots holes through, it wasn't worth believing to begin with. But look here, look at Luke 18. Let's start in verse number 9. It tells us this story. It says, Jesus actually spoke a parable unto them, certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, if you don't know anything about a publican, I'll just fill you in. Publicans were nasty people. They were some of the worst people, really. The Bible says, the verse number 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I don't know about you, but that's funny. He stood and prayed thus with himself. I think Jesus has a sense of humor saying that. This man's standing there praying with himself. In other words, God's nowhere close to this guy. He's praying thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice all the I's. I fast, I give, I am not like others, I am, you know, holy. And then he said, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was. If you knew anything about publicans, they were raunchy people. They were bad people. I tell you, this man went down. This is Jesus talking. This man went down to his house, this publican, justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Whoa. Notice that one justified himself before God, and the other humbled himself before God. acknowledged that he had made some mistakes. Isn't that right? That messes up some self-righteous people's doctrines right there. This Pharisee, if you know anything about Pharisees, they were the ones that in the eyes of everybody in the culture and society, they do everything right. I mean, they're sticklers for keeping the law. Like he's talking about here. He makes sure to tithe down to the penny. He gets every penny in there that belongs in there. Bible teaches tithing, doesn't it? But see, he's just sort of always talking about all his good works is the point here. And so in the eyes of everybody in the culture and in the society, he's an upstanding member of the community. He crosses every T, dots every I in the law. I mean, he keeps the Sabbath exactly. He's everything you think somebody ought to be, you know. But this other guy, I mean, he's not doing anything right, this publican. In fact, in the eyes of most people, he's doing everything wrong. He's just a mess. He's got sin in his life, all kinds of stuff. And yet, he goes down there and calls on the mercy of God, and the Bible said he goes away and God declares him righteous. Why? He called on God's mercy. You see that? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 13. He called on God's mercy. Boy, that makes self-righteous people mad. That's what this is talking about. This Pharisee, he's talking about self-righteousness. Amen. You know, you ever read over there in the Old Testament, Jonah got mad at God because God was merciful on a whole city of sin. That's what self-righteousness does. It gets mad. It sees the blessings of God on somebody that just says, Jesus, be merciful to me, and the blessings of God fall. Amen. Some of you are looking at me in a self-righteous tone of voice right now. Amen. They get mad. Amen. If you read this carefully, Jesus dislikes self-righteousness more than unrighteousness. Amen. Brother Hagin made the statement and said, it seems like that it's easier for people to get healed when they first get in the church than it is later. He said, others, they've been there for 25 or 30 years, and he said, so often it gets harder and harder for them to get healed. And then he said, why is that? He said, because when they first come in, he said, they come in like this. They come in with, I come with just one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's the only plea they had. He said, but then after 25 or 30 years, they start bragging on all they've done. Well, it's all going over kind of hard right now. Amen. But you need to just keep on saying it's your mercy, and it's your mercy because of the blood of Jesus. That what it has done for me, that I've got what I've got. Amen. If God blesses you financially and you come into a lot of money and you give the church $100,000 or $1 million, you shouldn't come with your thumbs under your lapels. You should come saying, look at the mercy of God. He helped me. He helped me with this. Look what God did. And I just give him all the glory for this. I had nothing, and he started moving and increasing me and giving me wisdom. And it's because he's so good, rather than look what I did. Amen. We got to keep this all through our lives. We got to stay, free from self-righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Make sure after you've been around a while that you don't develop a Pharisaical attitude. Self-righteousness. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is a good example. The Bible said, that's in Luke 15, I believe. The Bible said a certain man had two sons, and one came asking for the inheritance. And he got out into sin with that inheritance. Remember that? He went down there and had partied his inheritance away. He got to the place that he's down with the pigs eating pig food. And he said, man, old man, just the servants in my dad's house are doing better than this. He said, I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to say, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy of your blessings. Just make me one of your hired servants and humble myself to my dad. And he went home, and his dad saw him far off. This is the type, his dad's a type of God. And he and his dad saw him afar off and ran and hugged him and kissed him, remember? And my son was lost, and now he's found. And he started his speech. The prodigal son started his speech. He said, he started quoting exactly, go over there. You got to see it. You got to see it. I was going to try to just go on, but go back to the 15th chapter. I believe it's the 15th chapter. And chapter number 15, verse number, let's go to verse number 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, in verse 18, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him. Now, here's what he had practiced. He practiced this speech on the pigs. He told him, he said, now, this is what I'm going to say to my dad. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He's going to say that to dad. I was wrong. I've sinned. I've sinned before heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thine hired servants. He arose and came to his father. Okay, don't forget that speech. He had that all prepared. Came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said unto him, Father, now he's going to say this speech. He's going to say exactly what he had practiced on the pigs. He said, Father, you see it there? And he said, I have sinned against heaven. Go up there in verse 18. I'm going to rise and I'm going to say, I have sinned against heaven. Okay, got the first line out. Now don't go down to verse number 21 again. He said, and in thy sight. Go up to verse 18. And before thee. So he got that line out. And verse 21, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. All right. And verse number 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Verse number 19, make me one of thy hired servants. He didn't get that line out. Did he? Why? Because verse 22 says, but the father said, no, wait, just stop right there. I see where you're going. Just stop. We're not going there that you're not worthy to be called my son. We're not going there with this unworthiness stuff. And the father stopped him in his speech. And said, no, bring forth the fatted calf. Bring the robe and put it on him. You know, clean him up. Praise God. Give him a bath. Clip his toenails. My goodness, they're ugly. That's just the way I think. I don't know. And so they had a party. And notice the son didn't keep pushing that unworthiness. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thine hired servants. In other words, here's the point. He had faith to receive forgiveness and mercy. He had faith. Now notice, that's faith in his father's mercy. He didn't do anything to deserve that. He messed up. Isn't that right? But the father was merciful, and that's the type of our Father God. And some of us need to hear it real strong today. He's a merciful father. But I've messed up so much. The blood has made you free from all that. And you owe nobody any more works or penance. Well, I'm just not worthy. I'm going to do without the blessings of God because I'm just so unworthy. You're saying that the blood of Jesus was not enough. You're saying that that's not enough, that I got to do something else to help God out to become worthy again. And that's unbelief. That's unbelief in the blood. The blood's greater than that. Hallelujah. Some of you have got a past, but on the other hand, you don't have a past. Amen. Amen. You don't understand the way I'm saying that? Praise God. Maybe down at the police department, they know some things about your past. But as far as between you at the throne of grace, God knows nothing about it. He said, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Boy, that gives you a spirit of faith where you come in bold. Hallelujah, Father. And that prodigal son had the father had the faith to receive all those blessings from his father. He walked right into that party as if he's accepted. Now, there's another brother, though. You read that? Verse 25, his eldest son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked them, said, what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was what? He was so glad about it. He was angry. And he wouldn't even go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've served you, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Soon as this thy son, wouldn't even call him his brother, thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Nobody ever said anything in the entire story about harlots. They're never mentioned. Till this brother said it. How did he know that? They didn't have Facebook and email in that day. This guy went to another country. He's out of town, man. I guess he's at home with harlots on his mind. I guess that's what's going on. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. This self-righteous thing, the Bible says, you judge another man, you're guilty of the same thing. Amen. Amen. I've known preachers that have just been real hard on sin all the time. They're always saying, sin, you are sinners. You are sinners and sinners and sinners. Come to find out they're the ones sinning. That's why they were so hard on it all the time. Well, praise the Lord. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching better than your amen. Thou hast, as soon as this thy son has come, verse 30 here, which hath devoured thy living with harlots and has killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. In other words, you could have had you a party any time. That fatted calf was over there in the stall the whole time. Notice what he said here. Now, thou never gavest me any kid, you know. And he said, verse 29, I've served you all these years. You never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, go back to verse number 11. The beginning of this story said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And look at closely here. And he divided unto the younger son his living. Who? He divided to who? See, some of you are wondering. He divided to who? Them. Who's them? Both of them. So when his older son said, you never gave me anything, that's a lie. That actually was his calf out there that his father took from him and gave it back to his younger son. Whoa. I'm preaching the word to you. You never gave me anything. That's like, you know, these self-righteous people in church. They think that the good works is going to earn them everything. We believe in good works. You understand. The Bible preaches that we should serve God with love and good works. But see, none of our blessings are because we do good works. Our blessings are because He is good and His mercies endure forever. And He had mercy on us because of the blood of Jesus. And our faith is not in our works. Our faith is in His blood. And it's through faith in His blood that we overcome the accuser of the brethren that says we don't deserve it. But this young man, the older son, he's accusing his dad of never doing anything for him. But these people in local churches are a lot like them sometimes, like that older son sometimes. I mean, I don't know, because they'll see some guy come in off the street, get saved, and just throw himself on the mercy of God, and he comes down for a healing line and gets healed of all kinds of stuff. God's driving stuff out of his body, and he's rejoicing in all the blessings of God. Somebody gives him a new car, and I mean, he gets things just start happening for him, and the older saints in the church, they're like, well, Pastor, explain something to me, please. What is it? Well, how's come, you know, God go to blessing him with all of that, and I've been serving God in this church for 25 years. God never did anything like that for me. Yeah, and there's another little line under it. He's not gonna either, you self-righteous thing. Not based on your works. Amen. It's because of the mercy of God. That man just threw himself on the mercies of God. Found out it belonged to him and said, thank you. Like the younger son, thank you. I'll take that. He didn't argue with his dad. Just said, thank you. Woo, glory. I'm preaching myself happy. So this man had faith in the mercies of God. The man in Luke 18 had faith in the mercies of God. The people back in 2 Chronicles, they had faith in the mercies of God. Amen. Messes up people's doctrine, but that's just the way it is. Hallelujah. Make sure your faith continually is in the mercy of God and in what Jesus did for you and not in your works. Hallelujah. People are trying to get blessed and receive from God on a totally wrong basis. Romans 3, we read it there. It says God set Jesus forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in his blood. What did his blood do? It was shed for the remission of our sin. Our sin robbed us of all these things. The blood restores them all back. Hallelujah. And it's only through faith in the blood you're going to receive them. Amen. When you understand the way God thinks, you understand that we're totally dependent on what the blood did for us. Now let's go to another passage. Let's go over to Mark chapter number 10. These are just people that had faith in the blood, faith in the mercy of God, you might say. Mark chapter 10 is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus said this in verse number 46, or we'll just start in verse number 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but they cried. He cried more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, I like that. Jesus stopped right in his tracks. Commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith, underline thy faith, hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. How'd he get that? He got it by faith. He got it by faith. Amen. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He heard, Jesus heard that and stopped in his tracks. Have mercy on me. What stopped him? This man's appeal to the mercies of God. Hey, God delights in mercy. That's why Jesus stopped. He delights in mercy. He heard somebody call on the mercies of God. Jesus said that blind Bartimaeus' faith made him whole. But what did he have faith in? He must have had faith in the mercies of God because that's what he called out for. Isn't that right? Have mercy on me. And there must be healing in his mercies. So there's more to the mercy of God than just forgiveness or remission of sin. Because the Bible said, we read it there, it says that he delights in mercies. Isn't that right? And his mercies, plural, are new every morning. Isn't that right? So the mercies of God are plural. There's more than one mercy. There's mercy for forgiveness. There's mercy for healing. There's mercy for divine provision. Have you ever messed up financially? Made some mistakes? Mercy, Lord. Forgive me. Be merciful. He delights in it. Stops him in his tracks. Somebody's making a call on the mercies of God. He delights in mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the people around him started trying to get him to shut up. Basically, they're saying, yeah, you're such a sinner, you're not worthy. But he said, no, I have faith in the mercies of God. I got faith in the mercies of God. Amen. They tried to make him quiet, but he wouldn't shut up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come over to 1 John here. Just give you another verse you need to put in your spiritual arsenal, so to speak. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4 and look at verse number 16. We're going to take a break at a convenient time. How's that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath towards us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. You need to underline that first phrase. We have known and believed the love. I say that all the time. I believe the love. I know about God's love and I believe in the love of God. I know about God's mercies and I have faith in the mercies of God. I believe in it. I believe in second chances. I believe in third chances. I believe his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. I don't believe in just, you know, living like, well, I can sin, God will forgive me later. I don't believe that's right. I believe we ought to seek to live right. But if we stumble, anybody ever stumbled? Those of you that never raised your hand, you just did. Amen. Now, we've all missed it. We've all come short of the glory of God. But thank God for the blood. I can get up and get cleaned off and just be as if, God treat me as if that never happened. Absolutely. Praise God. Everyone else around might say, no, you're not qualified anymore. You missed it. You messed up. But when you understand the mercies of God and you have faith in the mercies of God, you'll get up, you'll rise up and say, God's not done with me yet. His mercies are new every morning. Let the Pharisees and all the people that think God's done with me just stand by and watch. Amen. No matter what they say, they're not the ones I stand before. I don't stand or fall before them. I stand or fall before God. And he sees I've repented, he sees I've made it right, and he's cleansed me by the blood. The Bible said if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. All of it's gone. All of it's gone. And I hold my head up and say, thank God I'm given another chance. I've got the mercies of God this morning. No matter who tries to disqualify me, the blood has qualified me. Amen. Doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what God says. And it matters who I believe. And I'm not going to believe the report of the accusation. See, they're speaking for the devil. I know it's getting bold, but it needs to be driven out of us. This condemnation needs to be driven out of us. There's people that say, you're not worthy. They're, according to the Bible, they're listening to the accuser of the brethren. And they're speaking for the devil. And I'm going to call the devil a liar no matter whose mouth he's talking through. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to keep them mad that God's blessing me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I remember Brother Hagin one time, he said he and some other ministers got to talking about a minister that had fallen into immorality. And he said he went into his room and he said he turned the light out and the light in the room lit up. And God started talking to him about, who art thou that judges another man's servant? He said, I didn't judge your servant. I just said what they said. I didn't say it. They said it. I just said what they said. Who? And then the Lord said it again. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? And he started defending himself, and the Lord just kept on him. And finally he said, whenever you repeated what they said, you said it. He said, and then the Lord said, I'm able to make him stand. He said, before his own master, he stands or falls. In other words, not before you. Before his own master, he stands or falls. And God's able to make, and God said to him, I'm able to make him stand. Praise God. In other words, and because the Lord asked him, whose servant is he? And Brother Hagin said, he's certainly not my servant. And the Lord said, well, he's mine, and I'm able to make him stand. Praise God. And Brother Hagin said, the Lord did. He made him stand. The Lord's merciful. Hallelujah. We're not the judge and jury of the whole earth. You'll be a lot happier if you just take yourself out of that role. Amen. Not my business. I mean, whatever God wants to do with them is fine, but they're not my servant. Whew, glory to God. This is helping some of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. No matter what's going on and what you're going through or what you're facing, if you will have faith in the mercies of God, you won't run from God, you'll run to Him. I believe a whole lot more people would come to church on Sundays if they knew God was merciful. Amen. A lot of condemnation. I've been pastoring now for 17 or 18 years, whatever it is, and I've found out that when people sin, you have to go after them. You have to go restore them, because that devil starts jumping on their shoulder and starts saying, you know, all those people there, they're all living right, and they know you're not living right. And he tries to get them to back out of church and just, you know, and you got to go after them, because especially if they're young ones, you know, you got to go after them and restore them. Because the devil, the accuser of the brethren, tells them they don't even belong there anymore. You know, I'm just so unworthy, and everybody knows I messed up. Well, fact is, not everybody does know you messed up. I had a lady come one time. She was a visitor, come to the service. And actually, she came, I think, three times, if I remember right. I think it was three times. And she came. The first Sunday she came, I had never met her. She's a visitor. And I'm greeting people at the door after service. And she came through, and she introduced herself, said something about another church she had been to. And I just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. And she said, you know, I think she said, this is my third husband, and I've made a lot of mistakes. And she's just, I'm not asking. In fact, I didn't want to know. You know what I'm talking about? She just felt for some reason she needed to inform the pastor. I don't need to know. But she went on and on about her own mistakes. And I said, well, thank God for the blood of Jesus. And I was just trying to encourage her. And that was the first Sunday that she was there. Well, the next Sunday she's there. And maybe it was the third Sunday we were there, whatever it was. She came through the line again. She shook my hand. I said, this is amazing. And she said, this is amazing. I said, what's amazing? She said, well, nobody knows. I said, nobody knows about what? She said, I told you everything in my life, my wife been through, and nobody here acts like they know it. I said, no. I didn't know what she was trying to talk. I didn't understand what she was talking about. She thought because she told the pastor, I was going to tell everybody else. And she said, well, nobody knows all I've been through. I told you, nobody. I said, and I realized what she said. I said, no, we don't see you that way. We see you through the blood of Jesus, because she's, you know, repented and so forth. And I said, no, we don't. That's not necessary for everybody to know. And she said, I've never been to a church like this. I said, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. Amen. She said, I've been to three or four or five churches trying to find a place to call home. And she said, I don't know why she felt like she had to. It just, I don't know. But she always would tell the pastor everything. She said, next Sunday, everybody knew about it and treated me like I was, you know, damaged goods or something. I said, well, that's not the way it happens here. Amen. I said, in fact, if that stuff starts going around, we shut it down like a bad girlfriend. You know, bam, shut that thing down. Gossip. Amen. Well, people need to know. Why? Amen. Why? Let's turn that on you and see if you still believe that. We'll have you get up and testify all your sin, everything you've missed. And, oh, no, I don't believe we should do it. Okay, good. Then don't do it to anybody else. Amen. The Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, it just doesn't go talking about it everywhere. Well, they ought to be, you know, exposed. Well, you don't really believe that because you don't want your sin exposed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Feeling mean on the devil right now. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus, he stopped right in his tracks when blind Bartimaeus said, to have mercy on me. And so Jesus is basically saying, faith in my mercy will get me to stop in my tracks. Everybody else might think it's not that you're not worthy, but the mercy of God says we're worthy. Don't be denied when you miss it. Don't live without because you've missed it. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you this. Another minister said this, and I'll repeat it. He said, when the blood has been applied, faith, when the blood has been applied, the devil is denied. Don't you be denied. When the blood's applied, the devil's the one that is denied. In other words, he can no longer hold you out of the blessings of God. You have a perfect right to come in and receive them. And listen, when you have faith in the blood, you have a spirit of faith about going after it. About going after it. So don't you be denied when you've missed it. Put your faith in the blood, and when that's applied, the devil's the one denied. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever you have or have received by faith, you only got it because He gave it to you. If He wasn't merciful on you because of the blood of Jesus, you would have nothing. Isn't that right? Nothing but faults and failures and, you know, guilt and the curse and judgment and hell. And I mean, you would have that, but that's not from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll stop here in a few minutes, but let me say just a couple more things. When in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, they said they went to that battle and said, "For the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever." The Bible said the Lord sent ambushments against their enemies. Isn't that right? They were going out there not dependent on, you know, we are all that in a bag of chips, you know. They were dependent on the mercies of God. So their faith in the mercies of God brought them into a victory and brought God on the scene fighting for them. You understand that? There's a lot of Christians fighting. They get involved in a lot of fights they should never get in. You know, I'm gonna have to fight the devil to win this victory right now. Why? Jesus already defeated him. Amen. What are you going to do about that? Nothing. I'm just going to praise God for His mercy. Hallelujah. And they went out there fighting by praising God for His mercies. You ought to do that regularly. Father, thank You for the mercies that You redeemed me and washed me in Your blood. Wash me in Your blood. You made me worthy. And what happened was, what would have been, because they were a smaller army than the armies they went against there in 2 Chronicles 5. They were smaller, much smaller. But they went out thanking God for His mercy, praising God for His mercy. And it set God to fighting their battles for them. And what would have been a place of disaster, you know, them being out there, you know, at the hands of an army that's much bigger than them, that's a disaster waiting to happen in the natural. What would have been a disaster turned into a place of great spoil. Remember, they took them 3 days to gather up the spoil? Whew! My goodness, why? Because they had faith in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. It became a place of great blessing. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "How'd you get that?" "The Lord is good and His mercies endure forever." Hallelujah. I put some faith in the mercy of God. That's where He blessed me, right there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That's a good place to end for right now. We'll come back. We'll take a break and come back in a few minutes. I don't know if we'll preach the whole 2 hours or how we'll finish this up, but let's take a 10-minute break.